Had a couple crazy days. I'm sure some of you did too. And if you're a young mom, you probably, it's a feat to get here. I know that from experience. Just to fill you in on a few things about myself. I grew up in St. Catharines, Ontario, and amazingly, I just met somebody that lives in Thorold, South, Rebecca and Andrea! My family's here, I didn't even know they were coming! What a shock, what a way to throw the speaker. My brother's girls are sitting in the front row here. Whoa, okay. I grew up in St. Catharines, and I just met someone that lives around the corner in a little town called Thorold South, where I grew up going to church. So it's a very small world, and that was kind of exciting. 40 years ago, I hope you forgive me for this, but I married a wonderful American man. And we celebrated our 40th anniversary all year. We kept saying, oh, we'll do this because we're celebrating. So it's been a good year. And I have a daughter who is 34 years old. She lives in Dallas, Texas. She's a nurse practitioner. And I believe for the first time in her life, she's in love. So that's exciting. Our son lives about 7 miles from us. He's 38, and he did a very wise thing, and he married a Canadian girl from Hamilton. And Jen has blessed us and Jason with two beautiful granddaughters. Sometimes they're cute, and sometimes. Yesterday, Ruby, the three-year-old, was not so cute. She was very contrary. I was looking after her in the afternoon, and if I said yes, she said no. If I said no, she said, I don't know, is that what three-year-olds do? It's been a long time. And so I thought on the way home, I was driving her home, I thought, this is going to be a nice drive home. I'm going to be really nice and pleasant. And so we got to a stop sign, and I said, Ruby, look at that beautiful yellow tree. And from the back seat, she kind of says, I like red trees. I'm like, like, there is no winning. So anyway, I'm hoping that this weekend you hear God's voice and not mine. That is my prayer. And let's just begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for bringing us all here safely. We thank you for your great love in our lives. We thank you for the testimony of Libby, Lord, and how you're at work in her lives. And I know you're at work in many of the lives here, Lord, and you want to be. So speak to us this weekend, we pray. And use your word in your name. Amen. So I have a confession to make. It's not a total addiction, but it's pretty close to that. When the weather starts getting nice in May, I want ice cream. And in upstate New York, there are lots of ice cream shops. We actually have one called Lugia's in Rochester, and they had to paint lines. On a warm, sunny summer afternoon or evening, there would be at least 50 people lined up for ice cream. And they have 40 flavors. I mean, it's amazing. But lots of little shops. We found one shop this summer that ships their ice cream from Maine, and I love ice cream, but one thing about ice cream is you finish your ice cream cone, and for me, it's not too long until I want another. It's never quite enough. And today and this weekend, we're going to be speaking about the fact that Christ is enough. When you define the word enough, you'll find in Webster's dictionary, it says equal to what is needed. And on your handout there, it says occurring in such quantity and quality or scope to fully meet needs. Occurring in such quantity, quality, or scope to fully meet a need. So if you have a need in your life, Christ is the one who can completely, in every way, meet that need. Christ is enough. And this weekend, we're going to be looking at the book of Colossians, and if you have your Bible, you can turn there. We'll be dealing generally with the first three chapters. But I wanted to give you a little overview of why Paul wrote the book and a little history behind Paul's perspective in writing to the Colossians. The book of Colossians and the book of Philemon were written around the same time, sometime between 60 and 63 AD, while Paul was in prison. That would be about 30 years after Jesus was crucified. So really not much time had gone by. A lot of you can think back to 30 years and remember pretty clearly what happened. So 30 years after Jesus was crucified and had raised and gone back to heaven. Colossae was a small town several miles from a larger city called Laodicea, and both were on a river that was leading into the Mediterranean. And at the base of that river leading into the Mediterranean was a very modern city, Ephesus. We had the privilege of touring the greatest ruins of any city, pretty much intact. They even had hot water. So this was not a city that was, or an area that was deprived and kind of backwoods. In Colossae, which was a smaller town, the church met in the home of Philemon. Now that might ring a bell to you. His wife is mentioned in the book of Philemon, and his son, Archippus, which name means master of horses. And we know Philemon was probably a very wealthy man. He had slaves, and one of those slaves, Paul met after he'd run away from Philemon. So here you have the Colossae, you have a house church, which was probably a good-sized house church, and a very wealthy man. Unknown to Paul, or anybody at that time, in a few years, that whole region was going to experience a tremendous earthquake. Historians tell us that. It was devastating. Towns and homes and families, lives were lost. But the people didn't know that, but God did. And some of the things that Paul writes, he prepares the people for when life is going to be tough. And I don't know about you, well, I can probably guess with most of us, there's been times when life has been tough. But I'm here to tell you that Christ is enough when life is tough. And Paul begins to tell them how they can build up their faith and how they can be strong in their faith. If you look at Colossians 1, verses 1 to 8, and Melody, I'm going to ask you to run and get my glasses. I completely forgot my glasses, reading glasses. They're in my purse and in my purse in my room. Yeah. So since my nieces surprised me, I am going to ask them to read. Rebecca, you can read Colossians 1, verses 1 to 8, nice and loud for everybody.
Love that spring from the hopes
Thank you. So what are the Colossians like as you look through those few verses? Well, we learn that they had a great love for each other. They were a group of people that truly loved each other. There would have been a great diversity among them. Philemon was wealthy, but he had a slave. So there were, this house church had many different social groups in it, many different people, but they had a love for each other. It also says that they're, three times it says they had a love for each other. It says that their faith was a growing faith. And Paul is clearly impressed with them. But he sees that they also have a need spiritually. And so he is going to instruct them on two things as he prays for them. Let's look at verse 9. And verse 9, I have my glasses, I can read. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. And asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. God wants to fill them with the knowledge of his will. Don't you sometimes wish you knew God's will? Just voice from heaven or something. But Paul begins to tell them how they can know God's will. It's twofold. Now, knowing God's will suggests a deep comprehension, insight, not just a surface, oh, God is love, God is always with me, something that goes deeper than that. One of the things my husband and I love to do is snorkel. And we had the blessing of being in one of the world's premier snorkeling places just about a month ago. And you can stand on the edge of a beautiful white sandy beach with the water lapping up against your toes. The water is gorgeous, aqua blue. But the minute you put on that snorkeling equipment and you put your face down, it is amazing what you see. It is totally amazing, the God's creation under there. We saw fish this big, fluorescent in color. Every color you can imagine. We saw a school of fish that were about this long and about that thin. Silver, and the sun hitting them. It was just, it's magnificent. But a lot of us women are like the people that stand on the shore and we just feel the water lapping up against our toes. And occasionally we kind of feel good about our faith. But God wants you to go deeper. He doesn't want you to stay where you are. And he didn't want, even though Colossians were doing good, he didn't want them to stay where they were. And so the knowledge of God is two things. It's having God's understanding. It's like having, an understanding is like having, you know something, right? You have knowledge. You have factual information. And that's what this book gives us. This book, the Bible that we hold in our hands, is the book that gives us understanding. This book deals with everything. It's amazing. If you're having a little trouble with relationships or your marriage, it speaks clearly to that. Try reading 1 Peter chapter 3. It speaks just to women. If you're having trouble parenting, this book has advice. If, like me, you have trouble controlling your tongue at times, this book has understanding. It has factual information. But we need more than just knowledge, don't we? We need wisdom. And that, if you see in verse 9 there, that's what he's praying for them. That they will have wisdom and understanding. This is how they're going to know God's will. And I have those words underlined in my Bible. I underline in my Bible a lot. It's a good tool, and it reminds me of things that I've learned. So don't be afraid to do that. God's understanding and God's wisdom. Now, wisdom is taking what you know and applying it to your life. Okay? We read about a man in the Old Testament. His name was Bezalel. I think that's how you say it. And it says that God filled him with spirit, with his spirit of wisdom, and he appointed him to do something very practical. He was an artist, and God gave him the wisdom to know how to form metal and stone and in an artistic way for the temple. So it's a clear example of how God gives knowledge, but then he gives wisdom, how to apply it in life. God's wisdom and understanding was given to a friend of mine. Her name is Marion Loney. Quite a few years ago, when she was about my age, she's one of my mentors, I would guess you would say, a woman I really respect. Her husband died very suddenly when she was away visiting her daughter out west. And Marion writes this, "As I think back on my life, recalling the rough times, my mind goes immediately to the help received through friends and family. Our God chooses so often to use people to deliver his comfort in various methods. These methods include prayer, especially in my presence, reading God's word to me. My heart was in such sorrow that I was unable to read or absorb the Bible at all. Sitting and listening to my story was extremely helpful and even allowing me to cry. I must include that hugs and showing that they honestly cared was special to me. Relationships, and listen to this, relationships both with our Lord and with each other, having been built previously, were so important and made a great difference when my grief occurred." Previous relationship with the Lord. You see, in her grief, instead of blaming God, and instead of saying he wasn't fair and becoming bitter and saying, oh, those prayers are just platitudes, what's that mean? She had a relationship with God. She had that understanding and that wisdom that allowed her to apply God's word and truth to her life. So why is wisdom and understanding so important? Well, Christ will not be enough when life is tough unless we have an understanding of how God wants us to apply his word to our life. And look at verse 10. "And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." We can live a life that pleases the Lord. So we're going to move on. That's Paul's perspective. This is giving you a little introduction, his prayer for the Colossians. And then we're going to refer to this again tomorrow, but look over in chapter 2. Most books in the Bible, you can find the reason or the purpose that the author is writing. And Paul makes it so easy in Colossians because in verse 2, he says, "My purpose is," okay, now we know exactly why he's writing the book. "My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches and complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ." So here's his purpose. He wants to encourage us. He wants to encourage them. He wants us to be united in love. And the one I want to hone in on is to know the mystery of God. Up until Jesus, it was a mystery who God was. They had some indications in the Old Testament. God spoke, God gave the law, but it was really a mystery compared to what we know. When Christ came, the mystery was no longer hidden. Namely, Christ. In him, it says, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's what we've been talking about. So in Christ, we are going to find what we need for life. We're all at different stages. We're all at different places in life. We all have different struggles. But the common thing we have is that Christ is the answer. He is enough. He's equal to our need. Okay, we're going to move along, and I'd like to read chapter 1, verse 15. If Christ is enough, then what is he like? He lays a foundation here. He, that's Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now, the firstborn doesn't mean he was the first person born in the world. It's referring to the Jewish culture. The firstborn in a Jewish family had the priority. He was the heir. He would inherit everything. He had the position, and that's the same as Christ. He's the firstborn. He has the position. He is heir of all. He is the one that has the priority. We also see in verse 18, he not only has a priority, he is Lord of all, and he is Lord of the church. In verse 18, it also tells us that he is Lord of life and death. And that pretty much covers it all, doesn't it? Christ, he is Lord of all. He's got the priority. He is Lord of the church. He's Lord of life and death. Paul makes that clear. So then it would follow, if he's Lord of all, he's Lord of creation, right? And here we have in verse 16 and 17, he demonstrates and declares that he's Lord of creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Well, let's read verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This is an amazing statement. Things in heaven, visible and invisible, rulers and authorities, everything has been created by him, and he holds it all together. And I love that thought, because if he wasn't holding you together, you'd fly apart, is basically what the verse is saying. Isn't that amazing? We depend on him. He holds us together. He is Lord of creation. He is also Lord God. Christ is over creation, but he is also God. And Paul is very clear in his teaching here that he is God. This is a very important teaching for us, because there are other religions and beliefs that do not believe this. They believe that Jesus was a good teacher. He was a good man. He's a good example to follow. But when you come to the point he's God, they will reject that. But our faith is built on the fact that he, Christ, is Lord of all. He is Lord of creation, and he is Lord God. And Paul demonstrates this very clearly here. Look at two verses, and these verses you should have underlined. You should know where they are. They're both in Colossians. One is in chapter 1, one is in chapter 2. Colossians 1 and 19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. That's Christ. Chapter 2. Just drop the 1 and go to verse 9 instead of 19. That's how I remember it. For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. You can't get much clearer than that. Paul is stating clearly to them, and there's a reason. We'll find out tomorrow. They were dealing with some real problems in their church. This is important. This is foundational. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, was fully God. When Jesus was on earth, Philip came to him with a question. And Jesus said to him, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after all this time I have been with you, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Philip didn't get it. But Jesus made it pretty clear. If you've seen me, you've seen God. It's the same. He is Lord God. See, the Colossians were doing very well on their spiritual journey, but they needed to keep moving ahead. And, you know, one temptation as we get older is, you know, I've been a Christian for a long time. I've been a Christian for a really long time. I came to know Christ when I was 6 years old. And I'm almost 63. So that's a long time. I could start sitting back and, you know what, I know it all. No, I don't. I need to go deeper in my faith. And you do too. And Paul paints a picture for us. And these are three important things to remember. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is Lord of all. He is Lord of creation. Think about that this weekend when you're outside. He made it all. He holds it all together. He is Lord God. Applying that knowledge to my life, coupled with God's wisdom, helps me deal with problems and stresses, sorrows that have come into my life, joys. You may have some very painful past experiences. You may have financial difficulties or financial blessings. You may have a lot of happiness in your life right now. You may be struggling in a not so great marriage. You may be dealing with wayward children. But one thing that we're promised is that Christ will be enough. He promises to give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding how to live life. So as you look at your notes there, he is Lord. My question tonight is he your Lord? Maybe it's been a while since you've thought about that. Maybe you need to have time alone to think about, is he really my Lord? Do I need to reaffirm that with him? Because Christ will be enough when life is tough, but he wants to be your Lord.